Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites.
So, five shows to report on today, beginning with one that will likely be a big hit this season. That is Death Becomes Her, based on the Meryl Streep Goldie Hawn movie. The musical, yes, it's now a musical, is at the L'Enfantin Theater, and it had a popular world premiere in Chicago. The two leading performers, Megan Hilty and Jennifer Simard, will likely be Tony contenders, as will the lyrics by Julia Madison and Noel Carey, which hit all the right notes. Every rhyme that matches a form of a forever young cosmetic procedure is here. By the way, there is a man, and there is a man in the middle. Christopher Sieber bravely gives a first-rate performance as well. I would say this would not be your grandmother's cup of tea, but I have to say I saw a lot of women with their excited granddaughters, so who knows. This one is generating the most LOLs since Oh Mary. Now, Off-Broadway was where I lived the rest of the week, beginning with room 1214 at 59 East 59 Theaters. Written by Michelle Kolos Brooks, she's the playwright behind Hitler's Tasters and War Words, both which had nice runs here and elsewhere. And this show is based on the true story of a teacher at the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School, which one fateful day suddenly had to deal with a shooting in a classroom. Annabelle Gurwitch nicely plays the teacher of that classroom. The students are also well played. Ironically, the hate crime of all hate crimes, as in the Holocaust, was being studied in that class. This is a powerfully written 80-minute show that will scare you, move you, and hopefully inspire you. Then I made my way downtown to the West Village to see the latest at the Lucille Lortel Theater, a hot ticket because the current offering stars Adam Driver. Now, I saw him on stage once before, and he's as magnetic as he is on screen. And that said, I don't think Kenneth Lonergan's Hold On to Me, Darlin' is the ideal showcase for him. Though he has a droll style, and that often works, and he plucks those strings pretty well as a country western star. He's named Strings, by the way. The show is almost 3 hours, and it feels it. Reviews have been mixed at best, but bravo to movie stars like Driver who take a chance honing their craft in front of a live audience. Denzel Washington and Jake Gyllenhaal are coming soon. Both have been on New York stages before. Next stage newcomer, of course, is George Clooney, and tickets are already selling fast for a good night and good luck. Of course, 3 hours seemed short as I headed to the Public Theater for the almost seven-hour GATZ, G-A-T-Z. Now, I'd seen this production by the incredibly imaginative Elevator Repair Service when it was last at the Public, I believe 20 years ago. The book went into the public domain fairly recently, which is likely why there are Gatsbys everywhere, one on Broadway, another on the way from Boston. GATZ is divided into several acts, including a bathroom break for 15 minutes and a 90-minute dinner one. The show is comprised of every word, every he said, she exclaimed, spoken live from F. Scott Fitzgerald's most famous work. While the other adaptations emphasize the jazz age glitz, and let's not forget a couple of bad film adaptations, GATZ is a complex portrait of excess love and the big dream. If nothing else, and there is plenty else, many of the book's beautiful passages are reminders, boy, that man could write. I was thrilled that Scott Shepherd is once again playing our guide. He reads from the book while in an office setting, then Nick the employee becomes Nick Carraway, the Gatsby narrator, and his co-workers morph into the other characters. Apparently, Shepherd doesn't even need the actual book anymore since he knows it all by heart. Anyway, if you have the time and stamina, GATZ is up to early December. P.S., I am reading a book right now about the Mankiewicz brothers, as in Herman and Joe, and there is a part where they have to inform F. Scott Fitzgerald that his movie script for another project has been totally rewritten. Now, that was a period when many novelists went to Hollywood for the money, and very few made the transition successfully. He did not. Anyway, so who can follow Fitzgerald? Well, how about a guy named Shakespeare? So my next show of the week was the Classic Stage Company's new take on Merchant of Venice. The director is the esteemed theatrical force Igor Goliak. He's Ukrainian and Jewish and arrived in the U.S. as a refugee at age 11. I asked him if the word classic intimidates him in any way, or perhaps challenges him. I don't know who decides what a classic is, he told me, but on CSC's website, they talk about their work as exploring and reimagining great stories that illuminate our common humanity. And for sure, that's what we are doing with this contemporary merchant, end quote. Well, I can say he has done that. He has chosen to stage the play as a low-budget cable access television program called The Antonio Show. Equipment is constantly failing, and one character even tells us that all but one crew member and a number of actors and musicians have left. Not true, by the way. We are talking balloons and puppets and maybe a breakdance or two in there. I can't remember. The production is yet another to join a recent trend of combining mediums, Sunset Boulevard first and foremost. Are we watching a movie or a play or both? Anyway, the last time I saw Merchant of Venice, the iconic role of Shylock, the Jewish lender, was played by a black man. It worked fine. In this production, some may feel the Jewish issue is either buried or only adds to the anti-Semitism often associated with the play. Shylock is in a Groucho Marx mask with a protruding nose. The Classic Stage Company does brave new takes on old works. This one surely qualifies. So if you feel up for it, go for it. Now, as for news from the theater world, well, last week you'll recall my report on Tammy Faye, which while I enjoyed it, I warned that it would likely not be up for long. Yep, Tammy Faye has announced its quick demise. The production features three big performers. It won awards in London. Alas, it wasn't meant to be. Maybe too much competition, or people didn't take to the idea of religion on stage, and didn't we just have the movie not long ago? Anyway, unhappy investors are likely asking all those questions. And speaking of investors, all shows begin with readings, as you know, multiple ones. Well, the big one this past week was a presentation of Sinatra, the musical, at the Apollo Theater. Following a world premiere production in the UK, apparently. This was an invitation-only audience and included theater stars, Broadway executives, and music industry heavyweights. The book is by two-time Tony Award winner Joe DiPietro and direction and choreography by three-time Tony Award winner Kathleen Marshall. The special event, which was presented with a full orchestra, included Matt Doyle as Sinatra, and Ala Villafan, who I just saw in N/A, playing Ava Gardner. It's interesting, there was also a play in Los Angeles called Ava. I guess some folks just can't get enough of their complicated love affair. Anyway, we'll keep an eye on Sinatra the musical. Meanwhile, good news is always welcome, and Mama, I'm a Big Girl Now, a show which celebrates the 20th anniversary of Hairspray and reunites three of its stars, has extended its run by 3 weeks. The show, starring Marissa Janet Winokur, Carrie Butler, and Laura Bell Bundy, will now play at New World Stages through December 21st. Now, bear with me for one more Gatsby mention. Jeremy Jordan led the show on Broadway, and he just left, and he already has a new gig. He will be in the upcoming Broadway debut of Adam Gittell and Tina Landau's musical Floyd Collins at Lincoln Center. That musical begins performances at the Vivian Beaumont in March. And more stage to film updates. Wicked, of course, is cleaning up at the box office, even beating Gladiator. And we also have a version of August Wilson's Piano Lesson on screen. Denzel is not involved with this one per se, but several members of the Washington family are. And his money and clout likely are as well. Finally, no death to report on this week. Well, not a personal one. But Blue Man Group is closing in February. This one spanned more than three decades, over 17,000 performances since beginning at the Astor Place Theater in Lower Manhattan, right across from the Public Theater, by the way. Started in 1991. Oh, a lot of now grown adults, including mine, likely remember being dragged to that one as youngsters. So anyway, have a great holiday week, and don't forget that there are some 12 shows closing soon. So you can go to the ticket booths before most of them and grab a less expensive seat. And meanwhile, I will see you next time.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.